Hello there, and welcome to Council Chat. I am Vice Mayor Johnson, and with me is my favorite District 6 council member, Cindy Claycomb.
Oh, you threw that District 6 part in there. Well, hello there. So happy to chat today. Next week, we have a really busy council agenda. We've had some kind of light ones lately, but next week we're going to discuss bike and pedestrian multimodal accommodations, and this is a CIP project, and we prioritize those projects based on feedback from the Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Board. And I think that that board's really important because they do help us figure out what, particularly what connections we need to the bike paths that we already have.
Yeah, and I always appreciate them always keeping that in the forefront of our minds when we're looking at federal spending, our agendas and things like that, always thinking about bikeable, walkable Wichita. So I appreciate that as well. We also have a couple water-related items, and although we don't often talk or think about water that we use every day, it's one of the most important utilities and city services we have. So we'll be discussing a stormwater sewer extension petition for District 1 at 9th and Hillside. We talked about that extensively at the District Advisory Board now for 2 months, so that's coming up, and the council will discuss that. We'll also hear an item about well rehabilitation. The city has 91 groundwater wells, and next year we anticipate rehabilitating 20 of those and replacing 3 of those. And then finally, we'll discuss maintenance on the water supply pipeline. This is regular work to ensure our water pipeline from the Cheney Reservoir and Equispes remains in good shape.
You know, in our public works utilities part of that, the water department, they work really hard on these items. And it is, you know, you started by saying we often don't think about those. Well, that's what we want, right? We don't want people to think about, am I going to have water today or not? Am I going to have clean water today or not? And so these kinds of projects really help us with that to ensure that we don't have to worry about those things when we wake up in the morning.
Yeah. And shout out again to Public Works and Utilities. Before I was on council, we actually toured the water treatment plant we have now and learned so much about all the work they do and how much they actually do with this, again, that you don't think about. But there's a whole lot of work and science behind that, and watching the water get filtered and all of that. And then that always the scary, hey, we just filtered this, drink it.
Yeah, you're like, ugh.
And seeing them do it and again, just learning all of that stuff is pretty cool. So yeah. Kudos to them.
That's right. Well, and the next item that we have on our agenda will be a code pertaining to tobacco use in Wichita. While we discourage tobacco use, this proposed amendment would allow clerks in the stores under 21 to sell tobacco products. And under the current ordinance, only those 21 and older can sell the products. And the reason we're looking at this is because it helps lessen the burden on staffing at stores. So it's not encouraging the use of tobacco, but it's become a real problem at some of our retailers that they have to have someone that's 21 years of age or older there to sell. So we wanted to help our businesses out with that.
Yeah, and again, just on that point, it's always good to highlight and encourage folks to reach out to us. So that was a burden that they felt. They reached out to council members, and then we were able to address it. So always want to encourage folks and businesses, especially, you know, if there are things going on that are making things difficult, reach out to us. We're always happy to listen and try to work through some of those things.
Yeah, and some of them can happen pretty quickly. This one, they came to us just not too long ago.
Yeah.
And pretty quickly, we're going to hopefully pass this on Tuesday and help them out.
Yep. We'll also be discussing approving a contract for the multimodal center in Delano. Staff is recommending Trans Systems to design the center. I know that is something that's exciting to the community. We always hear about parking. Yeah. So once this gets built and people can see it and they can start envisioning, now we can park there. There's going to be hundreds more parking spaces in this facility when it gets done. So that's exciting as well.
Yeah. And I got to sit on the selection committee. I was just one person, but sat on the selection committee for that, where we ended up recommending Trans Systems. And it was really impressive to see the designs and the ideas that came from a number of different firms. And so it was, enlightening to me. And, you know, we think about a parking garage, how boring is that? But this is really a multimodal center. It's not just parking. It will have buses there. It will also have lots of spaces for bicycles. And the first floor, they're looking at some retail. So pretty exciting thing, you know. So I think I never called a parking garage, and we don't call it a parking garage. You know, it's a multimodal center, and excited to see what it can be for our community. And then finally, we're going to discuss and hopefully vote on our proposed code of ethics. And so this has been a long process.
Long journey. Lots of revisions. I think you mentioned earlier at Agenda Review 15 versions.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is good. You know, I'm glad that we were able to engage the community, engage a third party with the National League of Cities. I think we have been able to put together a really good code of ethics, much better than what we had, which was kind of aspirational. And this will guide how we are in office. So I'm glad to see this and looking forward to the vote on Tuesday.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, once we brought the National League of Cities in, that gave us some real clarity. You know, we had an early workshop, which I thought was really good, with Ed O'Malley at the Council Leadership Center. And then we kind of floundered around a little bit, I think. And then bringing in the National League of Cities really helped us, I think, really add a structure to that to think about, okay, here's the pieces that need to be in there, and then how do we move forward? And so it was pulling all those things out of there and moving forward. And it's I'm excited to vote on it, too. I think it'll be nice to have it in place, and we can move on then.
Yeah, yeah. And move on to the other pieces. And like you said, breaking it down in pieces was good, because if we wrestled with all four of the things they said, this might take another year. So breaking it down, we can look at one piece, approve, we're going to be reviewing every year anyway, and then start to work through the rest of those pieces while we deal with everything else the city has going on.
Yeah.
Also, just briefly wanted to highlight, there's been a few issues you may have seen in the media in District 1, or seen if you follow me on social media, between Liberty Way and University Plaza. Those are two, I will say, very bad situations for residents and what they're going through. And unfortunately, their just livable condition hasn't been met. You know, what we saw at Liberty Way last week was facilities that had many code violations, exit lights hanging from the ceiling, lights not being covered, exposed wires, things like that, soot, bird droppings, all in spaces where folks live. And that's just not a way, in my opinion, that people should be treated. And, you know, University Plaza was something we dealt with back in December. And in December, management there said they would work with the city, and thus far have done the few things that the city has asked of them. But for some reason, city inspectors couldn't get into rooms. Rooms is where the violations were that I was made aware of. So while they met some of those standards, they didn't go above and beyond to make sure their residents were taken care of. So as residents reached out to me, I went to go visit again, and I see a room that's full of mice droppings that was currently inhabited. Mice had chewed through the wall in several spaces, bed bugs, roaches. And then in some of the uninhabited rooms, these rooms have been vacant for months or years, and they still have whoever was there's belongings in there. And so you, again, and then some of those rooms didn't even have the glass sliding door that keeps the separates the inside and outside. So bird droppings, old mattresses with bed bugs, refrigerators with milk that's been in there for a year, so it doesn't look like milk anymore. It's separated. It's just really bad. So just wanted to highlight those are going on. I am continuing to try to work with the residents on finding other places to live that can. One of the unfortunate pieces of this whole situation is there's a lot of residents at both spaces that have either issues on their background with evictions or felony backgrounds. And in the case with Liberty Way, some of those folks are, you know, it's like sobriety living.
Right.
So it's hard to get into a space with all of that going on. And that's been the real struggle here in trying to help them, is how do we improve their living condition while not displacing them, because there's fears of retaliation. And I have heard some of the residents in both spaces have been kicked out for even talking to me about this.
Yeah.
So it's tough, but, you know, for those paying attention, we are still talking about it. Once we get a better idea of the current situation, we'll bring that to the rest of the council, just so they can be aware of the situation, the ins and outs. But right now we're still learning even more about what's going on.
Well, thanks for your work on that. You know, I agree with you. That's unacceptable for people to have to live in conditions like that. And it also points out a little bit of just our issues with affordable housing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it, is that some people can't afford to move somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, it kind of highlights that also. So thank you for your work on that.
Yeah,
it's really appreciated. And on a happy note,
yeah,
we want to congratulate the new president of Wichita State University, Dr. Rick Mumma. He's been named the 15th president of Wichita State University. And on a personal note, also, I've known Rick for quite a while in my work at WSU, and I am just thrilled that he is the new president.
I am thrilled as well, and I hope Dr. Mumma is listening. If you remember, there was one point, I believe, a couple of months after you became interim president where I said, hey, you might end up getting a job one day.
And you predicted it.
Yeah, and you said, no, they'll probably pick somebody else. So at this point, I'm right. Congratulations.
Right.
Excited to have your leadership there. And again, looking forward to working with you as a council member and just as a person. I think you're a great pick and will do great things for the university.
Yeah. And as I said, I worked with Dr. Mumma for many years and as a colleague when I was at Wichita State. And he will be a tremendous president for Wichita State and for the community.
Yeah, I agree.
So, well, we may also be facing a stormy weekend, I hear, and that's a great time to check out a book or a movie from the Wichita Public Library. If you haven't been to your local branch yet, make sure you check it out. And also be sure to weigh in on our new name for the Evergreen Community Center, which will include the branch library and the Neighborhood Resource Center. You can find the link on the homepage of wichita.gov. So it's been my pleasure to chat with you today, Vice Mayor.
Yeah, always great to have my favorite council member from District 6 on with Council Chat.
Yeah, so you have a great weekend.
You do the same.